Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast on the What Culture Gaming Podcast channel, no less. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Hello, hello.
And Ash Millman.
Hello.
And on this beautiful week of Mental Health Awareness Week, I thought we would delve into the history of just essentially body positivity in video games, the history of hyper-masculinity, the history of hyper-femininity, and just kind of pick apart. It's a fascinating conversation as we've started to delve into.
Yeah.
And we spent most of the morning hashing all this stuff out on Slack anyway. Yeah. So we're pretty much just going to have the recorded version of the conversation that we've already had. So actually, I'll first mention as well that we have the Just Giving page, which I think is justgiving.com/fundraising/WhatCulture. This should be going up on Wednesday, so you should have already seen the stream.
It's been up.
Yes, that Rich just did for Mind.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yes, you can still head over to the Just Giving page if you want to donate anything else, though. As far as I know, our totals are flying right now, which is pretty, pretty lovely.
Hooray!
So, the first kind of thing I was just going to say, like, that whole idea of hyper-masculinity and hyper-femininity, the idea of overblown human bodies, usually video game characters, the men tend to have massive arms and tiny waists and tiny heads, whereas the women tend to have massive boobs and the really curved bums and everything else.
The curved bums.
And so I guess the opening question that I had was, do we even like playing as overblown, really over-the-top human forms?
Yes.
Me too, to a point.
Yes, to a point.
What do you think,
Ash? I mean, games at the end of the day are fiction. So, I mean, you kind of have to expect a bit of caricature in games. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, to a point, it depends how it's portrayed in a way.
Context is king when it comes to this sort of thing. It's very nice playing as like someone who is sexy and appealing and is the best that you want to be and all that sort of thing. But it depends on what the game is defining the best you can be as. As you say, for men, that's like massive, muscly, unattainable bodies, like steroid men. but for women, it's literally all about tits and ass and how little clothes.
I've been PC for the lack of, we can't get the sensors.
We can say tits and ass.
We can say tits and arse.
Well, tits and arse. We can do it.
I think we're okay.
But yeah, I mean, one of the things that, one of the only times that I come up against this, because we can get onto the idea of empowerment as well, and obviously games being this massive, like, escapist art form. But one of the things that I bounced off was there's a very recent game called Fist of the North Star, or it's the latest sequel in this thing.
Is that recent?
Well, it's an old franchise, but the latest release was last year. And the dude in that is like I think he's probably always been this way, but he's got the tiny waist, massive over the top arms. And I just kind of bounced off
anime,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, very anime. And I kind of just like bounced off that. And I don't know if that's just me wanting someone that is at least remotely believable in whatever kind of context I want to apply to it.
Doesn't this guy have like a literal like super punch that can shred more?
Yeah, like punches dudes' heads off.
Yeah, so I mean, there's no amount of realism in this kind of game. And I'm sorry if that is something that sort of like annoyed you or upset you.
I just kind of bounced off. I'm not calling for a change or anything, but I think if we're going to like pick a character that you can hold up and be like, this person is so over the top that I can't not focus on
this
that.
This annoyed me.
Yeah, yeah.
For example.
Or maybe, I wouldn't say annoyed, but like if you go back to the old Lara Croft or whatever, it's like, I'm not going to not notice the fact that her chest is inflated.
Well, things are very different back then, like back in the 90s, like to what they are now. Like everyone's a lot more aware. Mm-hmm. Women are, you know, like more powerful than ever.
We're
okay with
only
that.
Go upwards.
And people are sort of mindful now, even in video games. It's still got a long way to go.
I think looking at Lara Croft is like the starting point for all of this, because if you look at Lara Croft, she is literally Norks, and that's it. Like when she originally came out, and then with the restarting of the franchise, she's slowly gotten a little bit more clothed, a little bit more realistic, a little bit more proportioned, and she's become more of a figure that I think I think the most important part for bodies and body positivity is looking at young girls and young boys who are looking at these bodies and thinking, that's what I should look like. So for girls to have a figure that's realistic, strong, athletic, rather than just, whoa, tits and my little bit, then I think that that's only a positive thing and more realistic and more affirming for people who are real people.
Yeah, I think to drill that down a bit, though, as well, I was listening to an interview with Aoife Wilson, who was talking on, I think it was on Charlie Brooker's, he did this whole, you know, like 100 important games, was on Channel 4 a while ago, and they were talking about the history of Lara Croft, and Aoife was just saying, I think I'll put her name right, was saying that when she played Tomb Raider as a kid, she just, like, you know, saw, like, you know, it was a female in a leading role, and that was all that mattered to her when she was younger, and like, is that like more a product of the 90s that we just didn't analyse these things back then?
Possibly,
but my argument, sorry, I'm going to leap back in, but the thing that I would instantly say to that is there is no comparison. There's nothing else that she had to compare it to as a woman in a leading role. It's like, okay, yes, I've got a game that's a woman in a role. That's amazing. Great. I've got this girl I can look up to. It's fantastic. Where are all the other ones that she can compare it to and say, oh, okay, actually, maybe that's a really sexualized version of a woman that isn't maybe what I would relate to properly. So that's where I would call out problem with that, because yes, fantastic to get the step where a woman is in a leading role, but then also there was nothing else to say. Maybe this is problematic.
Plus in that specific example, like Core, when they were designing Lara Croft, literally, I mean, if you believe the rumors that apparently designer Toby Gard apparently entered 150% for the chest pixel rather than 15%, and then it blew
accidentally.
Up. Accidentally. And then apparently his design team apparently were like, well, you should leave it like that, because then according to the quote, the writing was on the wall as to how they were going to market that character, which obviously paid off massively. But there is that whole thing where if you dissect sort of empowerment, that idea that or how do you sort of separate that idea of like a female or a male being incredibly sexy and incredibly alluring with also having agency, because someone like Bayonetta, she was literally designed to try and tick both those boxes as much as possible.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think of that?
That's a great example. Unfortunately, I've never played the game, but I do know Bayonetta's whole thing is that she is sexy.
Yeah.
But she rocks it. Like, she absolutely rocks it. And that's, I don't feel any kind of like, I don't look at her and think, oh, this is wrong in any way. But then someone might, I'm not sure. Like,
I'll go on.
I was gonna say. I think I don't think it's wrong either. I look at it and think being sexy and being sexualized are two very different things, which is what we also hashed out earlier.
Yeah. But so, that's totally worth delving into.
Yeah. So like Bayonetta, she is sexy and a sexy woman and allows herself to be sexualized because that's what she finds empowering. But she's also a person underneath all of that. Like, she's got motives, she's got emotions, she's got this, that, and the other that's driving her. And she is the center of her own story. She isn't put in as eye candy or to further a man's narrative, which often happens in games.
Can I talk about Persona 5 now, please? Because I like really, like recently, like I just got it on Friday there in the PlayStation sale. You should pick it up. It's very good. And I, right away, like I've fallen in love with the main character. I think he's adorable. And I was saying to Scott earlier, I was like, am I part of the problem? Because I'm literally just sitting going, oh my God, this boy is so cute. But it's different. Like me saying he's really cute, he's not like portrayed as this character. Take Anne, for example, who you meet very early on.
I have so many problems
and,
with the way they
have that. I have a lot of problems with it too, because I saw her and I was like, oh, you're adorable. And she's got this whole, there's a bit of a thing with the teacher going on, but she's like, nah, mate, don't want any of that. So she's built up as this sort of stereotype character that's a bit of a school...
She's almost like a cheerleader.
Bicycle.
Sort of thing.
I'm just going to say it. She's built up to be a school bicycle.
I was going
to
go there, but
basically.
Sure.
But then the game starts to sort of imply.
Body positivity,
no,
is it?
No. Stay with me, Ange.
Okay. Yes.
The game starts to imply that she is more than that. She is this.
It's
really,
more the reputation that
really
she's been
strong
given.
And like all the rumors about me aren't true, blah, blah, blah. She's this really strong female. I couldn't wait to have her on my team. And then you recruit her. And her flipping costume is, I kid you not, a big leather, red leather suit with a big old titty hole in the top. And I was so mad. And apparently it gets even worse.
Well, the problems I had with that character, this is very specific because it's just one game, but the problems I had with that character is that there's one bit where she falls asleep in the bedroom with the rest of the crew, and as she falls asleep and goes to the side, two characters just look up her skirt, and it's played off as like, you scamps, sort of like
really,
looking up her skirt.
I really hoped she was going to be this like, equal third of the team, but she is literally just a a piece of eye candy.
Yeah, there's a really horrible bit later on, which is, it's not really spoilers as to how this plays out, but there's one bit where her getting nude has to be used as a distraction for another character.
Yeah.
And they don't give her any agency in it. You can say as a character, as your character, I don't think we should do this, but that has to happen. So even if you keep saying no, please, no, hell no, she eventually goes, oh, well, I guess I'll do it. And it's just like...
That's so, it's such a specific thing to like female experience to have this whole sexualized thing like put upon you. And then for them to do it in video games and to double down on it without the context of other things like personalities and that sort of thing that maybe you might drive a sexy woman versus a sexualized woman. It's just, it's ridiculous. Hearing about this game,
no.
There's a lot of recommendable parts to it.
It is a very, very good game. I am like sucked whole deep into that, like
into the titty hole.
It is. It is worth mentioning that this is a Japanese game, Japanese developers. So everything about it is Japanese. Very different culture. So that is worth sort of mentioning as well.
Yeah,
so
a lot of the,
just because someone like me looks at that and goes, "Oh, this makes me feel a bit bad about myself," that doesn't mean. Because I'm from the West, obviously.
Yeah, we're always going to be analysing stuff from like a Western lens.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I guess that's worth drilling, analysing as well, that idea of... Because in Bayonetta's case, like, yeah, like she's incredibly empowering and very sexualized and very sexy as well. But the way that the camera leers all over her is would be put into the box of the male gaze. But it tends to be, well, she's very much up for being like over the top and everything anyway. Therefore, it's quote unquote okay. And Bayonetta was created by a woman with that whole ideology in mind. But I think she's one of the only characters that manages to walk that line.
But that's because it's entirely self-aware, because it I assume because it's made by a woman, I'm gonna have to put that assumption on it. But like, if she
tell the truth,
if she knows that she's like sexy and that this camera is doing that from the male gaze, like you have to be so knowledgeable about all that sort of cinematography side and film studies crap to get into it and understand it and break it down. Like looking at her, say, I'm a sexy woman and I use my sexual prowess as a weapon. Is like a very self-aware comment.
Yeah,
it's like Sucker Punch. We were talking about that earlier as
Oh,
well.
God. You want to dice? You want to diverge into Sucker Punch? No, we can do a film version of this podcast.
Just a little over the top. At some point. A bit like Sucker Punch.
I'll tell you one of the questions that I posed to you guys is that like that whole idea of empowerment, because you take a character, you say like, you know, any X number of video game characters, and you go like back towards the 90s or the 2000s, the vast majority of male characters will be the huge arms, the six pack, the tiny waist or whatever. Most younger men, and obviously like me as well, would look at that and either not have a problem with it or go, okay, this is a power fantasy, this is something that I'm projecting myself onto
it in your brain. It doesn't make you feel bad about yourself because you know, like, this is just a character.
But it's like, and it's like one of the things to separate is like, as men playing games or boys playing games or whatever, it's like, okay, that is our strong character, that's a strong male on screen doing strong male things, like archetypally or whatever, whereas the female version of that, of the history of gaming, has tended to be, you know, the big overblown version of the woman is just to make sexual organs bigger and not really make anything else better.
Exhibit A is a fighting game, for example.
Dead or Alive,
like all fighting games, to be honest.
But it's like one of a couple of the characters that come to mind in terms of like that idea that a female on screen can represent like sexuality and that be powerful in itself. Like that can be this, you know, this beautiful person on screen can be incredibly like knee-weakeningly powerful. And so like characters that come to mind for me is in Molly's Game, like Jessica Chastain's character, I just think is incredible on screen and just very like she just dominates every scene that she's in.
We do have a video game equivalent sort of Molly, and that is I don't know if it's the ginger thing, but my head just goes to Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn. Obviously very powerful woman
because she's very like she's coming up with this very like tribal sensibility in terms of the weapons that she makes and the clothing that she's literally like stitched herself. I don't think of her in the same way, but I guess because it doesn't necessarily accentuate her figure.
She don't need no man.
Yeah, she don't need no man, which is really good. But just to finish that point, like you have characters like for me that stick out like in Molly's Game or someone like Erin Brockovich in like in the older movie where she's very like gorgeous on screen, but at no point is she like being leered over or whatever. Or the people who do leer over her, it's very like I'm unattainable, but I've managed to harness my sexuality as well.
Do you think that's maybe the difference between films and games? In games, maybe. You give the controller to a person who has the opportunity to move that camera to control these characters in a certain way, especially in an RPG when we have the option to accentuate certain parts.
Sliders.
Do you think so? That's the difference between films and games. Absolutely.
Oh, 100% context. Yeah. Again, it's context. A film sets up a character. before. Like, the, you can introduce them as really sexy and this, that, and the other, but there's always all this hidden meaning between all of the shots and everything. Whereas a game, you kind of dumped in and have to learn that along the way, which can be quite reductive to begin with. But then, I don't know, it has leaned heavily over the years into remaining reductive. Recently has gotten so much better, and we can celebrate so many new steps and everything. Keeping it on like a happy note and everything, that sort of thing.
But it's just that whole idea of like that idea of the unattainable body. Like, you see that in advertising, you see it in movies. Like, that whole idea of a celebrity tends to be, so it's obviously changed recently, but it tended to be someone who was like this unattainable, svelte individual that no one is ever going to come anything close to. But that in gaming, it's a wider conversation, because it's that idea of, like, you know, like male roles in society versus female roles in Western society, where most male gamers, I have to assume, using myself as a test case and the people in the office and stuff, are playing these games with an escapist power fantasy and not going like, I want to be X giant guy with giant arms. And that sort of disconnect, because the only way to sort of view the female version of that is objectifying and is through the sort of the male gaze kind of thing.
It has been. Like, for years we've battled against being damsels in distress and little like prizes to be won at the end. Prizes to be won, something to be this, that, the other. Like, exactly, yeah. So that is what the female equivalent of being in games has been for many years. It's been, you've been a prize. You've been something to go after.
But the best thing you can do is to be won.
It's something for men. Like, and it's only recently when it's been questioned, I say recently, within the past couple of decades, you know what I mean? That we started going, okay, let's put women in a position where we look at this and see how that plays with the context and that sort of thing.
But then when that finally happens with Tomb Raider, you get big old triangle tatters. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's getting better. It's definitely getting better.
They think the whole market appeals to young boys, but it's like, that's not the case anymore.
Not anymore,
and it hasn't been for a long time.
No, I want to give a shout out to Overwatch, because we haven't done that yet. Overwatch, I mean, you can say what you like about it, but it's representation for representation's sake. But that's what it is. It is pure representation. There's
is that a problem? That's not a bad thing anyway.
People will find a way of complaining about everything. But basically, when it first launched, I think it was 25 different characters, and they were all completely different, completely different body types, completely different nationalities. It was beautiful. It was lovely. There was a character called May. I don't know how much Overwatch you guys...
I adore Overwatch. I remember this. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, so May is Chinese, if I'm not mistaken. And
Asian of some description.
I think she's from China, yeah. And she's just a little rounder, short and round. Gorgeous.
Adorable, you might say.
Adorable.
Yes.
Love her. pain in the ass when on defense.
Yeah, that wall of ice can get in the bin.
So May had a skin. I want to say it was around about the new year kind of time. And they changed her, made her really skinny, made her bum really big. They changed it back. There was uproar. They changed May and made her really thin. And everyone was like, what have you done? Like, May was thick and we loved her. I just think that was really, like, it was obviously a negative sort of situation, but it was a kind of positive situation, because people were like, we like this round woman.
Well, you mentioned,
she is. I'm just going to say, how often do you see like a rounder character in these games? How often do you get that celebrated? Like, the whole point of games, media, films, everything, I always bash on about it, is you want to be able to see yourself on screen and be able to connect with that and see all the great things that someone can do. So like, in all these situations, seeing women, seeing people from different nationalities and ethnicities and that sort of thing, it's such an important part of our experience in media to be able to say, okay, cool, I'm the cool winner, hero person, I can do that. Like, seeing someone a bit bigger and going, oh my God, they're a fantastic hero, that's such a great thing to see. So to take that away would be really peak.
I go back and forward in terms of, because obviously with it being like escapism, like although I did love seeing Dad Bod Thor.
Oh my god,
with a little bit of pork on myself, I was like, that's pretty good to see like a nice chunky Thor doing some stuff. But sometimes I obviously get the side that pushes back on the idea that you know, they still want to maintain that gaming can be this big over the top power fantasy, and they get a lot out of that. It's obviously just about adding to that. Like, you can have your big over the top really dumb, I mean, I love the dumbest, funnest games possible. I'm a Metal Gear fan. But like, you know, there's all that, but it's like, you'd want to do stories alongside that you know, can empower and can represent and you know, can be more diverse, especially as well talking about the history of just women in the gaming industry. Like, even if you go back to if you Google video game adverts from the 90s,
the Ocarina,
horrific stuff.
Ocarina of Time.
What was
trailer
the Ocarina
have
one?
You seen that one? Horrific. It's got like a it's got something at the end where it's like, don't be a girl.
Don't be a girl, buy this.
Oh, it was so
There's just for loads of them, like when the Game Boy came on the scene, or like anything, like a new DualShock, and it was like, oh, Nelly always was a double page spread of some woman just being like, well, he used to play with me, but now he's playing.
Oh
with
my
this.
God, yeah, no, I saw
loads
that.
Of
I
was, stuff like that.
No, yeah, it's just nonsense, though, isn't it? It's either that, or you get a woman with one nipple out, like, and one piece.
Where are these
of
one whipples? Where are these one nipple
with
women?
With a controller or licking it or something, going, ooh, good. Would you like me or the game? And then you put the woman in the game and go, oh, you can have both. And that's all you get.
Yeah, that tends to be like
that is a long time ago. Yeah. Though, right?
You did see that all over the place, though. I mean, I'm a UFC fan, but even stuff like in the UFC, you still have the card girls holding up the ring, the next round or the next fight or whatever.
Yeah.
You still have that idea that a woman can accentuate a product. That was something that I think we've moved on from overall, but you still see it like across the in certain different fields. One thing that I had down, which we touched on just before, was just the history of RPGs.
Breastplates.
Yeah, breastplates.
Oh my god, the breastplates though. Like armor logic in video games, you kind of have to laugh about it because I'm in a weird sort of party where I love a good sorry, but the name for them is it's called a slut mog. I'm sorry, that's just
what
the name.
What have you done, Rach? You're doing so well.
That's just the name for it.
Hey, we're taking back slut man. We're taking
so
it back.
So mog is in like transmog, a good slut mog. Right, basically like a nice sort of showy costume because it's just fun.
That can be empowering too.
It's exactly. Yeah. And my character is really hot and it's like, yeah, this is me. or what I would like to be.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's so important that we can recognise that that's like different gaming tastes as well, you know what I mean? And it is geared towards these different types of people that want different things because like, yeah, it is fun being a real sexy character and doing all these things, but there is then also the choice to have the in-depth, like, actual built-up people behind them as well. And, like, it doesn't have to be everything either way because there's something for everyone. Mm. Like, there's so many of those, like, RPG games where it's literally just, how many women can you diddle? Like, so that's great.
Turns out quite a lot.
Whatever. Keep
at
that
least,
over there.
At least in Mass Effect, you can diddle men as well.
Yes, yeah. And aliens.
But then if you took a look at Mass Effect in particular, their treatment of women is quite interesting because every feminized, figure in that game is inherently quite sexy.
Well, literally, Miranda is said to be made with all the male desires ergonomically algorithmically put together.
So many good shots of her butt as well.
Yeah,
I just like that as a young me, but yeah, it's
I like that as an old me.
No, I think Miranda, separate from that, is a unique case because she is designed to be. I was genetically engineered to be a sexy lady. Like.
Yeah, they then make it part of her character that she's like, well, is this all I am? And then they sort of flesh that out to give her an actual resolution. So yeah,
then you also have the difference. The different way that it treats women and stuff. I don't know. I'm thinking of the Asari in particular because, like, as a female, like...
A race of sexy ladies.
It's literally just... They're all strippers and, like, sexy people.
They're not all strippers.
No, but they all
one
have...
One of them's a doctor.
They have the stripper period where they have their... When they're 200, they go out and do all their stripping and stuff, which is fantastic. I absolutely love it. I think it's a fantastic
They're just paying for their tuition.
It's a great way of dissecting womanhood and femininity and sexiness in games by doing that. And then Jack as well in Mass Effect 2, that she's completely naked, but with sort of bar two leather strips. But is this badass, powerful, biotic woman. Yeah.
That's a rare case of, like, nudity, but not in a sexual way.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, in that one, in Mass Effect 2, if you try and pursue Jack romantically without, like, actually having conversations with her, if you literally pick the options that just, you know, you go on the most flirtatious route.
Okay.
Yeah, literally, you try and go down that route, then she will sleep with you, but you'll never see her again.
Oh.
You'll never talk to her again. She just goes, if this is all you want me for, I'm done. And it's, like, one of the only characters where they sort of take that stance or at least make you realise that have some sort of afterthought for the things that you've been through.
I like
I did want to talk about because obviously, like, you have these ideas of, like, your hypermasculinity or femininity in the modern era. Even if you look at, like, Elder Scrolls, the first game's box art has, like, this woman, big warrior woman with, like,
Arena,
a string bikini
yeah.
on. But if you had that now, like, we would mostly cringe at it. And so it's, like, if you trying to think of the way that a lot of characters are portrayed today and, like, how do you sort of, I don't know, like, try and design characters that can, like, does any part of that old school sort of sexualized idea, should that remain whatsoever?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It could be a choice. I think the important part is that it is a choice because you do get people. I mean, there's a market for everything. You do get people, like men in particular, who just want to play as a female, dress them skimpy, and then that's what they want to get
like
out of the game.
I like playing Saints Row 3 as a big woman. So I like my big
but
woman.
But then you also get people who want to play it as, like, you know, a bit more seriously. So I think maybe there's something in it having the choice and not being forced to go down a particular route that is maybe the...
I think it's just about representation of bodies and different types of everything. Not every woman is a stick thin, big titty lady. Like, yes, there is women out there like that, and there is the fantasy of having women like that, and there is that and the other, but it's all about, like, society's beauty standard and challenging that sometimes because we are all different people, especially as gamers. We're a varied bunch.
Yeah. Like, we're a varied some of bunch. Us like evolve.
Yeah.
Weirdos.
I like being a giant wraith. What can I say?
Do you think that kind of change has just come with the demographics themselves changing? Like, as more data has been collected and to prove that. You know, a gaming demographic is mostly 50-50. Like, it used to be primarily, like, teenage boys, hence the horrific advertising. But as that's changed, you've seen attitudes towards the depictions of characters change as well. Obviously, we would say for the better, but obviously the backlash for some people would be like, oh, well, you know, we're not going to get my hyper-super sexualized characters anymore. But it's about doing them in a more considered way.
Yes.
Assumedly.
Yeah. Exactly. There is still a space for sexualized bodies of both genders, of all genders, that you want to see and all that sort of thing. But it is about recognizing that women in particular aren't defined by being a sexy body. There's way more to them. There's games out there that should look at all aspects of things. And again, it's about young people looking at these. Like, we might enjoy them with all our context. Again, context, context, context. But as young people looking at them, a woman seeing, okay, what am I? I'm to be rescued by a man and I'm a sexy woman and I've got to be thin, have highlighted boobies and
highlighted boobies, a
curvaceous bottom. And that's what I can aspire to, right? When there's a man that has all this nuanced thinking that can run around, smash everything, be a hero, have all this stuff. Like,
I think a very good example of this is maybe in Breath of the Wild. Stay with me here. Link is a little guy, but he's very strong. So there's that. Zelda usually, you know, was kind of like the damsel in distress throughout sort of some of the older ones. But Zelda is, she doesn't do much, but you never really feel like she is... I don't know.
Actually, I really like what they did with Zelda in terms of coming to terms with she's the only one who can save, like, the realm or whatever with the powers that she has, and she has to get embroiled in this 1,000-year-long war with Ganon by the end of it. But they actually fleshed her out, rounded her out more as a character in this one than I ever thought before. Even though they do have the scene where she breaks down crying, and obviously some people had a bit of an issue with that. Different conversation.
But
it's true, though.
Body, yes.
That idea, though, of, like, taking an old character and rounding them out and giving them an actual, like humanity, that does allow you to do other things with the visual presentation of a character. It all needs to be taken in balance.
And Link's always been a really little guy. Like, he's a strong character, but he's always been a little guy. He's never been big and muscly. I think if they were ever to make Link big and muscly, people wouldn't like it. So there you go. There's a little positive on the sort of men's side of things.
Because it's like, to try and address, like, both genders. I knew that we'd go more towards, like, female representation because
it's been a mess.
But to be fair, though, the mess of, like, the history of female representation in gaming, there's just more to talk about. It's not, I mean, one of the weirdest things, just to bring a filmic example in, is, again, like, Thor in Endgame. I've almost never seen, like, a beer-bellied superhero or like a beer-bellied character in a video game outside of a character creator in something like Saints Row, if I can make my character bigger. And there's obviously the immediate go-to where it's like, well, you know, someone in an escapist medium doesn't want to play as a character that is overweight or whatever. But it does have that payoff of just being like, okay, if someone that shape can do those things, then that's kind of cool. And so it is just like a whole new way of designing characters.
I mean, I'm obviously staying away from too many Endgame spoilers. He rocks it.
He does very, very good.
Rocks
god.
And even though
I fancy him so much.
Ash is like Thor's biggest fan.
I love him. I love him.
One of the things that you mentioned before we recorded, Rich, was that World of Warcraft has introduced like a larger species or whatever.
Scott is letting me log in. Scott is letting me talk about World of Warcraft on the podcast. Hello.
So what was this? They've brought in a whole race of people that are bigger.
Yeah, the way that WoW sort of works now is that they're kind of like, they have all these kind of gates that make you kind of play for ages and ages. And to reward you, they have these allied races that are not like full-blown, like they're not like anything crazy. It's not like a completely new character. It's just like mostly reskinned. And what they've done is they have introduced Kul'tiran humans, which are basically humans, but they are so chunky. But like, they're lovely. They're really chunky. Like the men are huge, but they're pirates.
Right.
And you just sort of, they're amazing. I love them so much. And you have to work so hard. Like at the minute, I'm working so hard to unlock them.
Right.
Just because I really want to be this bigger woman who just rocks it and just like annihilates this competition. And just like, I just think that it's lovely. And I know out there somewhere, there's someone who's like, they're fought.
That is their mistake to make.
Exactly.
But, I mean, things like that point to that idea of, I mean, yeah, there's obviously the role of women in the gaming industry overall. Like, there was an old hashtag campaign, it was called One Reason Why in 2012, that sort of highlighted the role of women in different game developer roles and just saying that because of everything, whether it's on the advertising side, the assumed demographics of video games and everything else, that women weren't being included in the developer side or the coding side either. That was in 2012. And just as a very recent example, in the newest God of War documentary, they said that they had their first female combat lead designer in the history of the franchise. And it's just like little things like that you kind of go, that should have always been there.
I mean, that's maybe not so much sexism. That's maybe just literally, because when I went to university, I did animation for games, and there were maybe five females. Ugh, I shouldn't call us females. I hate it when people call us females.
We're some queens.
Five women.
There you go.
Five queens in a class of about 40 people.
Right.
But then you've got a question. Is the support and are the doors being opened for girls when they're younger to think, oh, I'd like to do that? Because
got it.
Exactly, because it's like STEM subjects and that sort of thing, people. I'm going to start going into the political, patriarchal society and all this sort of thing.
I was going to say, because at the root of it is, we want to make a good impression on young people. Because young people are the ones who are, in my opinion, because I was young once.
they're the ones,
in my opinion, that are struggling the most from body image, from mental health issues because of body image, is particularly young girls. And a lot of these games at the minute, these days, that have these really powerful female figures, just to take Uncharted, Horizon Zero Dawn, just for two examples, they're 18-rated games. So a lot of these younger people, I mean, fair enough, they can play them, but they're not supposed to.
Yes, it's not as easy accessible.
They're maybe not getting to see these powerful figures. So at the bottom line is, it needs to be a little bit better for people of that age.
And in the industry as well, it needs to be like, you can do this. This is a job that's open to you too. And it's not like a boys club or this, that, and the other. Boys aren't more interesting or smart or this, that. It's like,
we're really not.
And like, it's like, you can do it too.
We're really not.
It's just about opening the playing field, innit? Like, it's so interesting to see the divide in genders across these sort of things. And again, in STEM as well, which isn't relevant to anything, but it ties back to this.
No, but that's another important field.
Yeah, and it's like, it's about the support you get when you're younger and people's like instilled subconscious ways that they treat people and perceive people and challenging that. And we're taking really good steps to get there, especially saying God of War's got their first like female combat lead designer. Wonderful, amazing. Let's have 10 more of them on other different games as well. Like,
I think like all of it is connected. I think that obviously wanting to tackle the idea of like, you know, body positivity or male and female representation in the history of games, it's a massive conversation. Obviously you can go wider, like you said, you can go down the Western societal patriarchal route and how we got to where we are now, but there are massive examples that you can just pull up, like the history of female bodies in advertising in video games and just how horrifically outdated that stuff is.
It's such a massive subject and there's so many little things you can drill into. It's so easy to just kind of get distracted in a way.
A little bit. I mean, I had a whole bunch of like, we pretty much hit all the notes that I had down. But franchises like Overwatch show that you can walk that line between empowerment and sexuality, or you know, sexual appeal, and characters like Bayonetta sort of have those things too. So I think there are you know, progress being made towards bringing those things together.
And I just love Kul'tirans and WoW. I'm sorry, good.
That's amazing.
What's that, what they're called?
Kul'tiran humans.
Okay, so that's a step towards the right direction. I guess going forward, because I asked this on the last podcast that we did on Monday, what do you guys want to see going forward? Is it kind of just that idea of just a bigger proliferation of diversity and representation,
yeah,
just in general.
I don't think it's about... I think it's about, again, the difference between sexy and sexualized. Mm. It's about male gaze and all this sort of thing. It's about looking at characters and giving them agency and self-awareness, mm-hmm. and giving a wide breadth of representation that isn't just thin white woman with boobs. Because it is all, like, as well, something we haven't actually brought up much is that all of this marketing and gaming is, like, there's so many white characters on the front of things. Like, it's very heavily, like, geared towards that. So a more diverse sort of imagery and people in these positions would be fantastic, mm-hmm. as well. That's what I would like to see. I just want to see people who can see themselves in things and
real
enjoy
people.
Yeah, and say, real people, I'm that person, I can do that, I'm a badass, I'm going to do that. Like, I just want to see people inspired by games and feel that they are represented and seen.
And I get that the immediate the YouTube style, like, backlash to that is obviously no one's saying that there can't also be white heroes or white representation or anything. It's just that everyone together, it's made all the more richer.
Like,
yeah, but it's just like you bring everything together and everything is all the more richer for that.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not about diluting anything. It's not
You're
about
not losing anything.
Yeah, it's not about taking away men. It's not about taking away white people. It's about saying, all right, cool, let's celebrate everyone else, please. Like, mm-hmm.
Rachel, you want to see from the future of gaming?
For me, the bottom line is choice. I know obviously there's a lot of constraints and, you know, development of games. Not every game is going to let you have a choice of who or what to play as. But for me, I just like to see a bit more choice in body type, gender, color, like you were saying. Just stuff like that, yeah. Mm.
For me, it's just the little... It's weird because I never want to say that someone can't do something. But I think, like, I do... Like, if I'm playing Dead or Alive, I'm going to notice the overblown women with the massive boobs. It's kind of
like
the thing.
I say, though, there is a market for that. There are people
of course.
Who like that. So.
And it's, you know, you don't want to take that away from anybody. Yeah. But I think addressing those things and just, like, you know, having a wider, more diverse pool is only going to make for better experiences, stories, representation, everything else. But yeah, I think the history of... Like, obviously, like, just gender in gaming is just fascinating and if not ridiculous.
Oh, God. It
always
is.
Worthwhile, though.
You have to laugh, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to laugh.
Yes, but yeah, so for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. You guys can let us know what you think down in the comments below. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Thanks for listening.
And Ash Millman.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.